Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Bee Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicbee.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. Today, my guest is Philip Memkes from the CBG Network, and we're going to be talking about the campaign against dangerous contraceptive pills. The Coalition Against BEAR, otherwise known as the CBG Network, or CBG for short, has launched a campaign asking the Bayer company to remove contraceptive pills from the market due to the potential health risks. The CBG also demands mandatory disclosure of all reported side effects in all post-marketing surveillance studies and effective punishments for unfair pharmaceutical advertising. Oral contraceptives that are associated with an elevated risk of thrombosis and embolism must be banned. According to the CBG, contraceptive pills of the latest generation are associated with a risk of embolism that is nearly twice as high as that associated with older products. At least 200 young women have died so far. Yasmin, the two in particular, are heavily advertised by Bayer, especially towards girls and young women, promising reduction of weight and acne relief. However, no attention is drawn by Bayer to the more pronounced risk profile associated with products containing the hormone dasburinone, if I hopefully pronounce that correctly. This leads to avoidable incidents and fatalities, end quote. The Coalition Against Bayer Dangers has been monitoring the chemical and pharmaceutical company Bayer for more than three decades. So, and on today's show, I have the pleasure of welcoming Mr. Philip Memkes, who's a physicist who's been working full-time with the Coalition for the last 18 years. So I would like to welcome to the show Mr. Philip Memkes. Good evening, Mr. Memkes.
Yeah, good evening to New York. Pleasure to be on the show.
Pleasure to have you. And you're in Germany, correct?
Yes, we're in Germany. It's 10 o'clock here in the evening, but it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your evening to join our audience. It's one of the wonderful things about technology, especially with the Organic View. We have a global audience of over a million listeners, and it's amazing how we've been able to connect people from all over the globe to educate one another about so many different things, and especially something such as what your organization is fighting so hard to raise awareness for. Now, before we begin, can you please tell us about yourself and how you came to work with the CBG?
Well, I'm 45 years old. I'm a physicist, and I live in Cologne in Germany. And I've always been engaged in environmental issues. And so I looked for a possibility to combine my activism with a job, a long-term job, and so I got in touch with the Coalition, which by that time already had been active on Bayer for 15 years, so it started work on monitoring Bayer already in 1978, and so we got together, and I've been doing our campaign work and the research for our campaigns ever since 1994.
Wow. That's a very long time, and obviously you're very passionate about what you do, and, you know, it's very important, especially since, you know, the work that you're doing requires a great amount of energy and a tremendous amount of time.
Of course, it takes a lot of work, a lot of time, and of course we get a lot of pressure by Bayer. Our group has been sued several times, and they treat us like, not like criminals, but as not rationals, as so of course we face some problems monitoring such an important and influential company. But on the other hand, many people got in touch with us, many people support us, and I think we were able to help a lot of people. So it's also rewarding.
Now, Mr. Mamkus, can you please explain one of the methods of communicating the issues that you raise awareness for as far as with shareholders?
Well, that's one of our activities, this shareholder activism. Maybe I can first explain that we have a broad range of issues we are working on. Our objective is to monitor Bayer, which is one of the most important chemical and pharmaceutical companies in the world, and we have the objective to monitor this company globally. Of course, we don't have offices all over the world, so we are cooperating with more than 1,000 groups and unions and journalists and all over the world who help us collect materials on Bayer, and also we get information from people working inside the company. Most of the time we get that information anonymously. So we have a broad range of issues like accidents in Bayer plants, emissions into air and water, and of course the problems caused by the product that Bayer is selling, like GM seeds or pesticides. Bayer is a number two pesticide producer in the world with a broad range of very dangerous pesticides, and of course the pharmaceutical issue. Bayer is the most important German pharmaceutical company and among the 15 biggest in the world. So it's a broad range of issues and a broad range of problems linked to this this company. And this shareholder activism you asked about, actually this kind of activism was invented in the United States, as far as I know. I think already in the 60s, unions started to buy shares of companies and to ask questions and put their demands on the issue in the shareholder meeting, where the shareholders and the board of the company has to answer these questions. And actually, we were the first group in Germany to start this issue 30 years ago. So we bought some shares of Bayer, which is not difficult and not expensive. It's just like $50 one share. And at least in Germany, with only one share, you have the opportunity to get an entrance card to speak within the meeting. The CEO has to answer your questions, and you have the opportunity to introduce counter motions on the issues you want to talk about. And these counter motions later have to be discussed within the meeting. So it's kind of democratic surveillance of the company that we're trying to reach within the shareholder meeting.
Thank you. Now, it's very interesting because most people tend to think of Bayer as a company that produces, for the most part, pain medication. You know, they're very well known for their aspirin and other medications that are used for illnesses. And now, the lawsuit that has risen in regards to some of their birth control products, can you talk about how this began and exactly why you're raising awareness about these particular products?
Well, 6 years ago, Bayer bought another German pharmaceutical company called Schering, and Schering was a world market leader for contraceptive pills. So when Bayer did so, we monitored also the Schering products, and we were aware of this new type of contraceptive pills containing a new hormone called drospirenone, which from the very beginning there was criticism by scientists who found that the risk of heart attacks, of embolisms, of clots and other diseases were raised by these new hormones, but there were no exact figures by that time. So when we were contacted by women who suffered exactly these problems after taking Jazz, or here in Germany it's called Jasmine or Jasminel, and we made these problems, brought these into the public, and we got in touch with scientists who made studies on this new type of hormone, and all the independent studies found that the risk linked to this new hormone is about twice or even three times as high in comparison to older contraceptive pills with hormones like levonorgestrel. So that's when we started the campaign about 3 years ago, and we've been cooperating with a lot of women who suffered problems after taking these contraceptive pills contacted us, and we brought their face into the public. We invited them also to speak within the shareholder meeting, so the Bayer board, the CEO, would be faced with exactly the problems their products are causing. And we are, of course, demanding to that these contraceptive pills with increased side effects must be taken from the market.
Now, can you talk about the research from the scientists that you have been able to review?
Well, there are a lot of studies. Actually, Bayer is also always referring to a study called the URES study, and they say there's no problem. See this study, which shows the hazards are comparable to older products. But we found out that this study was commissioned by Schering, so that's the company that Bayer bought up, and it was paid for by Schering. So, and it were former Schering employees who conducted this study. So this is absolutely no independent studies that Bayer are citing, whereas the independent studies, for example, last year the British Medical Journal published two studies on thromboembolism caused by drospirenone, and one study found that these hazards were increased by 2.3, the other one by 3.3, so it's doubled or even tripled the risk of thromboembolism, these newer studies showed. And also the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, they made a review published also last fall about which reviewed the medical records of more than 800,000 women in America. And they also found that the risk of thrombosis was about doubled. So if it's doubled or if it's tripled, it makes, of course, a difference to the women who suffer these problems. But in both cases, the hazards are much higher than compared to older products, and there's actually no benefit at all by these newer products. There's no need to take them and to have this higher risk.
Do you have any idea why the newer pills, the new generation pills, if you will, were designed in this fashion? I mean, why did they, if they had a product that was working and was not creating these health risks, why did they move in that direction to create a product that did? And what took them so long to take it, you know, to remove it?
Well, first you have to say all contraceptive pills have a higher risk of thromboembolism. So even the old products introduced in the 80s have about double thromboembolism risk in compared to a woman who doesn't take contraceptive pills. So older pills are not without a risk. But these newer pills, they double once more the risk. So it's not it's doubled and doubled once more. So why did Bayer introduce this new product? I mean, it's like with pharmaceuticals, after 10 or 12 years, patents are lost. So there are cheaper generic versions of these products, so profit margins are dropping. So, of course, the companies are looking for new follow-up products, and in this case they found this new hormone. And what Bayer is doing, what they found, that this hormone drospirenone is taking out some water out of the body. Women who take it lose a bit weight. It's not much. It's like a quarter pound or not more than half a pound. But so that's led to Bayer advertising these pills as being able to reduce your weight. And since these pills are especially advertised towards very young women or girls, 15, 14, 16 years old, of course, they are easily convinced when they read this pill will reduce your weight. they probably will not be aware of the increased hazards, especially since Bayer isn't talking about these increased hazards at all.
Thank you. Now, in regards to the campaign, how long ago did you launch the campaign, and what has the public response been?
Sorry, I didn't get it exactly. We launched it three years ago. What was that
yes.
your question?
How long ago did you launch the campaign, and what has the public response been? Have women been reaching out to you talking about their own experiences?
Well, of course, dozens or even more of hundreds of women have contacted us. And actually here in Germany, an own group was formed by women who suffered problems and diseases after taking these pills. And we helped this group to build up. And, of course, we support their demands. They're also demanding to this group has this product group has to be taken from the market. And of course, there have been many lawyers who contacted us, and we supported women here in Germany to sue against Bayer. And in the United States, there have been a lot of lawsuits, about 9,000 to 10,000 lawsuits. And well, Bayer for years and years they responded to us, no, that's no problem at all. Look at the studies, and these are always these studies they are commissioned by themselves. But now that pressure has risen, they started to settle cases, and in the beginning of this year they started to settle about 1,500 of these 10,000 lawsuits filed against them, all in the United States, and they paid about $300 million so far to these 1,500 women. So it's an average about $200,000 dollar paid to these women. So that's, of course, a start, and I'm sure that more women will be compensated. So the campaigns by our group and also, of course, the lawsuits in Germany and in the United States were quite successful. But at the same time, it shouldn't be forgotten that the product is still on the market and it's still heavily advertised. So there will be new cases today and tomorrow and today after tomorrow. And the Bayer board, of course, bears responsibility for this. And we feel that Bayer is probably reckoning that the profits from continued sales are higher than the settlement payouts to the women who suffer injuries in the future. So Bayer is probably just calculating. They make about sales of more than $1.3 billion per year, and now they're paying like $300, maybe $500 million. So probably the sales are to them more important than the payments they have to make right now.
Just out of curiosity, are there any countries where it has been banned?
It hasn't been banned, but it wasn't. There are countries where it wasn't approved, and especially in Asia, many countries didn't approve these contraceptive pills. But in the important markets in Western Europe and in North America and also Latin America, they received approvals. So that's why we launched this campaign internationally. It's not a problem only here in Germany or only in the United States, but it's an international problem.
Thank you. Just out of curiosity, what has the Bayer Corporation's response been at the shareholders' meeting?
Well, they said we are very sorry to hear the fates of these women who suffered these problems, but we are sure that these problems were not caused by our products. And, but in the same time, they're paying like now $300 million to women who were affected. So that's even for Bayer, that's not peanuts, $300 million. So it's not very logical on the one hand saying there have been no problems at all, and on the other hand admitting there have been problems and there have been diseases caused by this product group. So they're kind of tried not to answer too much on this issue because they kind of were uneasy talking too much about this issue.
Well, even though they're settling, the bottom line is that, or maybe I'm saying this prematurely, but has there actually been a lawsuit where the person who suffered health, who had different issues with their health, has there been a lawsuit that has been settled in court? Because if everything is settled out of court, then to a certain degree, they're actually it's to their benefit. Because if there's no court victory, so to speak, it's kind of par for the course.
Yes, of course. That's the problem we're always facing. Bayer doesn't want a verdict. So when they feel there may be a verdict against them, they will settle. And part of the settlement will always be that the victims must not at all speak about the settlement. So even the sum that were paid won't get public. So, of course, it's a problem. We would prefer that the court really would publish a verdict against Bayer. But that's what Bayer never does. They always settle in advance. It's better than nothing for the women who suffer these problems. But, of course. For the future, it would be better to have a court really decide on this case.
So let me ask you your next step. What is the coalition going to do now that the shareholders meeting has passed? Do you have any further activities planned to further try to work with Bayer to try to get this off the market?
Well, we have to continue to inform the public, inform the media, and try to inform as many women as possible. In order to do so, we are supporting the women who formed this group here in Germany. And we are also supporting women who sue against Bayer outside of the U.S. because Bayer so far only settled in the United States, probably because the courts have higher fines there than in other countries. Here in Germany, fines are much lower. So for Bayer, they didn't settle at all here in Germany or in other European countries. So this is kind of a double standard. Women all over the world have suffered from these products, and women all over the world have to be compensated by the company. So we will especially help or try to help women outside of the U.S. who so far were not offered a settlement.
Thank you. We have a question from the audience. This is coming from Terry. Her question is, was there any particular reason why these products were targeting young women?
Well, probably because this weight reduction effect, and there is some acne relief by this. So teens have more problems with acne than elder women. So that was one of the reasons why they're especially targeting young girls. And if you see the advertising, if you look at the advertising, you see it's really for girls. It's not made for women. It's mostly made for girls. In the United States, they had an MTV star, Lauren Bosworth, and they hired as an endorser and spokeswoman for jazz. And they're especially targeting the younger women who then continue to use this product for a longer time.
Thank you. Just out of curiosity, in regards to Terry's question, have there been women that you've been reaching that have recently stopped taking the product that have reported health issues?
Excuse me, I didn't get it.
You've been raising awareness, have there been women who have just recently found out about your campaign that have only recently stopped using the products? Have they communicated that they've had any health risks to you or health issues?
Well, of course, as I said, dozens or probably even more than hundreds women have contacted us, and some of them have suffered problems, but some of them stopped using this pill before they got any problems and switched to older pills. Of course, one has to underline that these still are relatively rare adverse effects. It's not that every 10th or every 20th woman will get these side effects. But globally, if you take a look on this problem, it's up to 100 million women all over the world who use contraceptive pills. So even these relatively rare adverse effects then will lead to a lot of cases of impaired health. So if 50% of these cases can be evaded, this should be done, and this product should not longer be used.
Thank you. If someone hears this interview and they know of someone that's taking one of these products, what do you recommend that they do? Should they contact the CBG network, or, you know, what's the first step?
Well, they should, of course, I think they should first talk to doctors. I don't know how it's in the United States. Here in Germany, you cannot buy these contraceptive pills freely. You have to get them by your doctor. So you should talk to your doctor. And you should demand to get an older pill. These second-generation pills that were brought to the market in the 80s, so which were very well known, which have been on the market for 30 years, I would recommend to switch to one of these older pills, because, as I said, hazards are about 50% lower using these older pills. And there's just no reason to bear these higher risks, because what a pill should do, be a contraceptive, is there's no difference between the newer and the older ones.
Thank you. And just out of curiosity, what has the medical community had to say about this? I mean, how have they responded at all?
Some do, or even a lot of them do, and they support our point of view. But, of course, medical doctors are also heavily influenced, of course, by the pharmaceutical industry. Not Bayer, not only Bayer, of course. Bayer is only an example. We are targeting Bayer as an example. All the other pharmaceutical companies or chemical companies, of course, are similar. And, not all doctors are really independent from pharmaceutical industries, and even a lot of medical doctors are not aware until today of these increased risks, because Bayer will not communicate them, and most of the information available, most information in the Internet, is by the producers themselves, and they will not communicate at all on these increased hazards. So even, unfortunately, many doctors are not aware of this.
Thank you so much. And speaking of finding out information, Mr. Memphis, can you please give the CBG Network's website so that our audience can communicate directly with you and follow everything that the organization is doing?
Yeah, it's simply cbgnetwork.org. And we have a page in 5 languages. So we have an English page, and we have a campaign site on Jazz on this English site. And via the website, you can contact us, and everybody who's contacting us can get our newsletter in English or French or Italian or whatever, and so get updates on our campaigns.
Thank you so much, and thank you once again for coming on the show today. It has been wonderful having you.
Yeah, thanks, June, and hope to speak to you again.
And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Please check out the CBG Network's website, and also they have a donation page. The work that they do is very important, and if you want to make a donation, it's a great organization to donate to. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.